Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy, his medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. National Broadcasting Company brings you another episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Gray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
The town of Frenchman's Ford in the Western Territory has never been called the Paris of the West, or the crossroads of the frontier, or the metropolis of the prairies. And yet, through the mud-foul streets, some strange feet have trod. Of course, among the strangest are mine. Who am I? I am Pablo, the gypsy peddler. And this is my friend Midnight.
Midnight.
He is only a bird, but he is a true cosmopolite.
I'm a stranger here myself.
He has found that great cities of the world have one thing in common.
Which way is the saloon?
We have seen strange sights in Frenchman's Ford. Easterners, Indians from the hills, high-born Spaniards from across the border to the south. But perhaps the strangest thing of all, we saw one day when the stage from Chisholm City rattled into town. I was sitting on the front porch of his house with my friend, Doc Sixgun.
Stage is 3 hours late.
Well, inasmuch as it is usually 5 hours late, you might say it is 2 hours early.
You might. Oh, passenger.
A lady.
Hey, I've never seen any skirts like that on any lady in the territory. Must be some new style.
Oh, no. No. Believe me, Doc. If there is one person in Frenchman's Ford who knows the style in ladies' skirts before the ladies know it themselves, it is I.
That's funny. Look at that. She's going straight into the Bull Run Saloon.
Not even the family entrance.
Curious.
Of course. And you?
Well, I haven't got anything pressing that I know of, unless Bill Favers' wife is 2 weeks early.
Then, shall I go back there? And so, to satisfy the curiosity of an idle afternoon, we strolled down the board sidewalk to the Bull Run and went in. Well, I don't see her.
Oh, there, by the bar.
A lady at the bar?
Wait a minute. That's not a lady. That's a man.
In yellow silk shirt?
And look again. It's a Chinese.
That's your head.
Oh, of course!
I don't think I ever saw a Chinese man dressed like that.
Well, Doc, that's because you have only seen the poor fellows who cook for some of the ranchers. Now, I can see, Doc, that is a man of very high rank.
Well, how can you tell?
You see that button on his cap? The little red button?
Yeah.
That is the sign of a mandarin.
You sure about that?
Oh, I've seen it many times in San Francisco when I was there.
Well, what's he doing here?
Well, why don't we buy him a drink and find out?
Oh, now, you can't just step up to a stranger like that. He probably doesn't even speak English.
Well, I see he has been talking to O'Shea behind the bar. And O'Shea has never been known to converse in Cantonese.
Doc, come here a minute, will you?
What is it, O'Shea?
Listen, can I ask you something?
What is it?
What incarnation is a Su Chong?
Su? I don't know.
That Chinese feller at the bar, that's what he asked for. I told him all I had was whiskey, but Well, maybe he don't savvy so good.
Does he speak English?
Oh, he talks awful funny, Doc. I can hardly make out what he's saying most of the time. Must be some kind of heathen dialect, I guess. Listen, you're an educated fellow. Would you talk to him?
Well, I'll try.
Su Chong. Ha!
I beg your pardon. Do you speak English?
Why, yes, I do, rather.
You see what I mean, Doc? I can't hardly understand.
I'm afraid Mr. O'Shea here didn't understand your order.
Well, I was hoping he would have a cup of Su Chong. I would even settle for an India, a Darjeeling.
I'm afraid you'll have to explain.
Oh, you don't have any?
I don't think so. What is it?
Tea.
You mean tea like tea?
Well, yes, I thought perhaps I could get a cup.
Do you have any tea, O'Shea?
We got coffee, Doc. I think Ma Appleton keeps tea up at the feed store. I could send Charlie up for some. Frankly, mister, we don't get much of a call for tea here at the saloon.
Yes, that has been my experience all the way from San Francisco.
I don't understand. If you came from San Francisco, how did you happen to come into town on the westbound stage?
We came by the southern route, and I had business in St. Louis.
Ah.
Yes.
Well, maybe I better introduce myself. I'm Dr. Matson.
And I am your most miserable servant, Kung Lee Sen.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Sen.
Oh, no. Mr. Kung, in Chinese nomenclature, the family name comes first.
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't see many Chinese in the territory. Just a few of them working around, mostly as cooks, and they don't talk English.
Oh, then I can understand the look of vast interest that my arrival entailed.
Sure did stir up a windstorm among the ladies. My cook, Piney, was sure green with envy when she spotted that yaller silk jacket of yours.
I shall make her a present of it. Did you say doctor?
Yes, that's right.
A doctor of medicine?
That's right.
Oh, qualified?
Oh, now, look here, mister. You can't come in asking doctor questions like that.
That's all right, O'Shea. Yes, Mr. Kung. I'm a qualified physician.
Then I wonder if you can help me, sir. I would be your most abject servant for life.
Well, I just charge the regular fee.
Oh, yes, of course. I have tried the remedies suggested in the great classics, but to no avail. The ingredients for the healing potions are not available.
Well, I have a pretty good pharmaceutical stock.
Do you have powdered dragon's tooth or desiccated earthworm?
No. It's like the tea. We don't have much call for those things here in Frenchman's Ford.
Oh, then celestial science is at a loss, and I must leave Sulan to occidental science.
Who?
Will you come with me to see her?
See her? Woman?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. I left her at my quarters above the livery stable.
Well, I'm always ready to tend a patient, but...
Oh, you are more gracious than the keeper of the hotel. I paid the driver to stop there on our way into town.
Oh.
But he informed me that he allowed no dogs or Indians or Chinese on his premises.
I'm sorry.
Fortunately, the livery stable had a more civilized point of view.
Sent me back to his place to get his satchel, and I met him in the rooms above the livery stable. The shutters were closed, and in the darkness, the rooms seemed to be empty. But Mr. Kung led us to a straw pallet on the floor in the corner, and there, under a quilted cotton cover, was the slight figure of a girl, a Chinese girl, with long black braided hair and large black eyes that darted about like a fountain bird.
Here she is. Her name is Sulan.
What seems to be the trouble?
A fever.
Let me see. That's all right. I won't hurt you. I just want to...
Does she speak English?
Oh, very little.
Well, tell her I won't hurt her. She's scared to death. Does she understand?
I have ordered her not to be afraid. You may proceed, Doctor.
All right. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you. Just want to feel your forehead. Why, she's burning up. She's been this way long.
For several hours.
Let me have the satchel, Pablo.
Here, Doc.
tell her nothing's going to hurt her. Just going to give her some medicine to try to break that fever.
She won't be afraid.
Here now. Drink this. Oh, come on now. It's all right.
Did you make more?
Please.
Can you understand me? This is medicine. It'll make you feel better. You understand?
Yes.
Now, that's the girl. Here. Come on, drink it all. There.
Oh, doctor, do you know what the disease is?
I think it's the water fever. Did you stop at Three Wells on the stage route?
I believe so. Yes.
I told Charlie Potter not to let anybody drink any of that water a dozen times, but the next watering place is 10 miles out of the way, and he won't listen.
Will she be all right?
In a couple of days. You just keep her warm and give her plenty to drink. I'll come by again tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, doctor. You are the most learned of men.
Yes. Oh, that's all right. We'd better go to the other room now. I think she'll fall asleep. Well, don't worry about her.
I was concerned because she is so valuable.
Well, of course, anybody we think a lot of is valuable.
Oh, no, you do not understand. When I say she is valuable, I mean it literally. She is worth $4,000.
She is?
Of course. If she dies of the fever, it will be a total loss.
I don't understand.
Of my investment.
Isn't she a member of your family, Mr. Coon?
Oh, no, no. Sulan is not a member of my family, no.
Then who is she? Where's she from?
Canton. She was shipped to me in San Francisco.
Make her sound like a piece of merchandise.
Precisely, Doctor. So she is.
I'm not sure I understand you, Mr. Coon.
Doctor, you have never been in China.
No.
China is a land of great wealth and of great poverty and great famine. And when whole families starve to death by the millions, the life of a small, unwanted girl is not held in very high esteem. They can be bought cheaply.
You mean bought like slaves before the war?
If Sulan had not been bought from her family by a merchant, she would undoubtedly have been thrown out into the river with thousands of other children who starved to death. You see, we have done her a service. We have saved her life.
But what's she doing here in Frenchman's Ford?
There is north of here, Doctor, in Montana, a wealthy gentleman, the worthy Ah Sung, the owner of a most productive gold mine. And he is a very sentimental man, and he longs for things which might remind him of home. A bit of porcelain, a fan, a girl.
Oh, you mean you brought her here to be his wife?
His wife? After a fashion, Doctor. Things are different in the Celestial Empire. A rich man may have many wives, or many serving girls.
But you can't do that here.
Oh, Doctor, you look distressed.
Mr. Kung, this country just fought a long and bloody war to abolish chattel slavery. There's an amendment to the Constitution barring.
Yes. But what would you do, Doctor? Would you take Sulan from me now and set her free in this town? Her end would, I am sure, be obvious to you. She speaks little English. She is frail, a delicate creature raised to play musical instruments and dance and to be a thing of beauty in a merchant's house. Such a house waits for her in the north. It would hardly be a kindness to deny her that familiar security.
Yeah, but you can't just ship a girl from China to Montana as if she was a longhorn heifer.
I assure you, Doctor, all my papers are in order. If you would be so rash as to consult an officer of the law, you would find that Sulan was traveling under my guardianship to the home of her cousin, the Honorable Ah Sung. So, now, you must allow me to pay your fee, Doctor. How much?
Nothing.
Oh, come, don't sulk, Doctor. The classics say, judge not your neighbor by your own heart.
Never mind, Mr. Cook. I don't want your money. I'll be back to see my patient in the morning.
Not walked along beside me back to the Bull Run in silence. And then, just before we reached O'Shea's well-oiled swinging doors, we heard someone roaming up behind us.
Doc! Doc, wait a minute!
Who's that?
Pearsall! I helped out at the livery stable.
Oh.
You remember me.
Of course. Something wrong?
Wait a minute, Doc, before you go into the saloon. You just came from down the stable, didn't you?
That's right.
Did you look at that girl? That Chinese girl. They got in that room there with the shutters closed.
Yeah, I saw her.
I just wondered if there was something real wrong with her. I heard her for about an hour, just a groaning and calling out in that kind of Indian talk they use.
Well, she's got the water fever.
From the three wells stop on the stage.
That's right. Charlie knows better than let anybody drink that.
Well, as a matter of fact, Doc, Charlie told me about it. He done it a purpose.
Why?
Well, you know Charlie. He just plain mean. He seen they was foreigners, and so he just let him drink that there water and never said a mumbling word.
Oh, he did, huh? What did you want from me, Elton?
I just wanted to know how that little gal was. That's all. I carried her up to the room. She didn't weigh no more than a yearling calf. She just looked up at me out of them funny, slanty eyes, scared like to death. I tried to smile at her because I didn't want to scare nobody, and dang if she didn't try to smile right back at me, burning up like she was.
She'll be all right in a few days, Elton.
Well, that's good. I was kind of worried, Doc. You know how you get sometimes. Like when I found that jackrabbit out back of the stable a month ago with the leg broke. I just plain couldn't stand to see it suffering that way. So I just took it into my bunk and kind of fixed the leg up.
You said a rabbit's broken leg, Elton.
Well, as a matter of fact, the rabbit died.
Oh.
I don't mind telling you, Doc. I was plumb broke up over it. So, you can see, I kind of felt responsible for that little Chinese gal. I mean, my carrying her up to the room that way.
Well, I hope you had better luck than you did with the rabbit, Elton.
You ain't making no fun of me, are you, Doc?
No.
Well, Mike Leary says I'm a button short taking on over critters that way.
No, I'm not making fun of you, Elton.
Oh, thank you, Doc.
I don't like to see anything suffer myself. Rabbits or Chinese girls.
Buck sat at his table in the Bull Run drinking many cups of O'Shea's black coffee. I knew he was worried and puzzled. And so, I waited.
The thing is, he's right. See, he hasn't got anything in China to go back to, and if you just turned her loose in some town, why, she'd get gobbled up alive like a chicken in a wolf pack.
Well, perhaps the best thing is to forget her, Doc.
But you can't just let it go on. Slavery, out-and-out slavery.
Oh, you couldn't prove it, Doc. And if you could, what would that little girl gain? Frightened, with no friends?
Yeah, I know.
Oi, he's just come in.
Huh?
Yes. There at the table. He's going to play poker with those cowpunchers on the barrel way.
Wish I could figure a way out of it.
Doc, occasionally it is necessary to mind one's own business.
He's just as much my business as any of those slaves we freed during the war.
You know, Doc, I am a very lucky man.
How do you mean?
Because I have no conscience whatsoever. And therefore, in this world of injustice, I can drink with a light heart. Am I not right, Doc? Never mind. Mr. Kung, the Mandarin, became a very popular man at the Bull Run Saloon. He had been in town for a week, and he had spent almost all of that time at the Bull Run gambling with cards or dice.
You see, I am by profession a gambling man, whether I gamble on the turn of a card or the increased value of certain imported commodities. There is always the fascination of risk.
Went back each day to see the little Chinese girl.
There now. You're feeling a lot better, aren't you?
Yes, please.
About all you can say, isn't it?
Yes, please.
Tell me, do you know where you're going? Do you know where Kung is taking you?
How do you feel about it? Would you like to be free? Do you mind being imported like a piece of jade or silk?
Yes, please.
I wish I could find out. Wish I could talk to you and decide what to do. Decide whether to help you or even whether you want me to. It's no use.
Yes, please?
Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Please.
Pablo, if only I was sure that she had some place to go.
Yes, but you are not.
Well, there's no use in getting mixed up in it unless I know I'm helping her.
Mr. Kung will not take lightly an interference with his merchandise, particularly now.
What do you mean?
He has been playing poker at the Bull Run with Matty Burns from the Flying W. He has been losing heavily.
That's so?
Over $1,000. If he expects to make a profit on his consignment, it will be very precious to him.
Well, that wouldn't bother me. If only I could be sure.
When we arrived at the Bull Run in the evening, the game was still in progress. And Mr. Kung did not look his imperturbable self. His face was sallow and covered with sweat. And his knuckles were pale as he gripped the cards.
Hi, Doc, Pablo. What'll it be, the usual?
Oh, say, the usual, but in a tall glass.
Coming up. And, Doc, I'll bring you coffee.
What are you looking at?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that foreigner's bit off more than he can chew, and Matty.
Still losing, huh?
I figure Matty's into him for about $1,800. Charlie Peters got about $300 to go to.
Think he'll quit?
Some of them can't quit, Doc. I've seen a lot of gamblers. White men, red men, yellow men, it's all the same. He ain't going to quit till he's so flat broke he can't raise a nickel on his shoe.
I suppose you're right.
Now, get your car.
Doc, can I see you a minute?
Oh, hello, Elton.
I wanted to talk to you about that girl.
Sue Lan?
Yeah, Doc. We've been talking together.
You speak Chinese, Elton.
Oh, now, Doc, you know I got all I can do to speak regular talk so folks can understand me. But, I don't know. Somehow, when I sit up there in that room with that little girl, it just don't seem to matter.
How do you mean?
Well, we kind of plain understand each other, I reckon. She don't want to go wherever it is he's taking her. I can tell that.
Do you know where that is?
No. But I know she don't want to go.
How can you tell?
Oh, now, Doc, don't ask me that.
What do you want, Elton?
Well, Doc, I just wanted to ask you something.
What is it?
There ain't no law about it, is there?
Law about what?
I mean, if a fella and a girl... I mean, if they wanted... Well, you know, I got that little place of ground up by Bear Rock. It ain't much good, but you could run a few head of cattle.
What are you trying to tell me, Elton?
Well, me and that girl. There wouldn't be no law against it. Would there, Doc?
No. No, there wouldn't.
Where are you going, Doc?
Never mind, Elton. I'll be right back.
And, I will bid 50 and, raise 50.
I'll see you, mister.
Three queens.
You just don't live right, mister. Got a flush. Ace high. Just shove the money over this way.
Kung,
I want to talk to you.
Oh, not now, Doctor. I'm very busy.
Kung, listen. That girl, would you let her go?
Doctor, please, don't bother me.
Now, listen, it's important. If she could find somebody around here, would you let her go?
Now, look here, Doc. This is a game of cards. Now, you got any more cash on you, mister? You're busted out of the game.
Well, unfortunately, I have no more cash.
Then I guess you're busted out of the game, mister. Better give your place up to somebody who has the makings.
No, if you will only extend me the credit.
Funning me, mister. Yeah. Credit in a poker game when I never seen you before? Your like is not to be out of town before sundown?
But I cannot stop now. I've lost everything. I must have a chance to win it back.
That's real tough, mister, but nobody asked you to sit in.
But I cannot stop. I must win some back.
Mr. Kung, I'll give you credit.
What?
I'll play you, Kung. I'll bet cash against your merchandise.
So, Doctor, I could not do that.
Are you afraid to risk it, Kung? You afraid to take a gamble?
Oh, no, but my merchandise is worth $4,000.
I'll match it.
Doc... $4,000. You'd have to sell everything.
Be quiet, Pablo. Well, Kung?
Very well. What will we play?
Let's get it over with. We'll cut.
Very well. $4,000 cash against my merchandise.
Trouble?
We are both men of honor.
You may shuffle.
Will you draw first, Mr. Combs?
I am your most humble and unworthy servant, Doctor.
Go ahead. Draw.
Very well. Check.
First card.
It is an excellent card. Will you draw, Doctor?
Sure. Okay. Ace.
Oh, that is also a good card, Doctor. I shall have the merchandise delivered to you. Excuse me, gentlemen. I have nothing left. I must leave the game. Goodbye, Doctor.
Bye, Mr. Cone.
Well, Doc, I never thought I'd see the day. I couldn't believe my eyes. No, sir.
What are you talking about, Matty?
Well, I'm just disappointed, that's all.
Huh? Matty.
Doc, you know darn well that was the ace I had in my last hand. You had it up your sleeve.
Think so, Matty? Elton?
Oh, yes, Doc.
You better go down to the livery stable and see if you can explain to Sue Bland that she's going to be settling at Bear Rock, raising cattle. Among other things.
Do you mean it, Doc?
All settled.
Oh, you mean that easy?
As easy as turning over a card.
And so, Elton built a log hut at Bear Rock. And somehow, he must have overcome the language barrier. Because there are now three or four, or possibly five, little piersoles with straight black hair and large black slanted eyes. Mr. Kong won his stage ticket to Chisholm City by rolling double or nothing with Charlie Peters. Mr. Kong was using loaded dice.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Doc Six Gun is played by Carl Weber, Pablo by William Griffiths. Today's script was written by Ernest Kinoy. Heard in the cast were Louis Van Ruten as Kung, Marion Carr as Sue Lan, John Aston as Elton, and Ken Williams as Matty, William Keane as O'Shea the bartender. Listening to Dr. Six Gun, starring Carl Weber as the Frontier Doctor with William Griffiths as Pablo. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.